I just believe in the process, and we're going to win going through the process.
Now, Bills Mafia, it's time for the main event. So sit back and enjoy the show.
Bills Mafia, welcome to Red, White and Buffalo Blues, a UK Bills podcast, Bills news with a UK twist. Now, we all know Fraser, Ali, Fraser in this instance being the Patriots, us being Ali. Fraser wins the first one, Ali wins the second, and Ali wins the trilogy match. And this weekend is a wacky wildcard, super wildcard weekend, as the Bills managed to, what's the word, Alex? Demolish, suffocate, embarrass. I don't know. You could fit so many words in there. What do you think?
Yeah, to think of a word, you know, I don't think there is just one word. If there's a way to mix like exorcism and annihilation, mix that into one word, you know, that's what this game was. You know,
massacre. There we go. Massacre.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Because I think what we just did is we just blew up the entire New England Patriots organization.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick just realized that Mac Jones will never be able to go toe-to-toe with Josh Allen. I think Bill Belichick realized is every single player on his defense is not equipped to stop what we can do on offense.
No.
Belichick either quits or takes 2 to 3 years to completely retool his team again. And we'll just take those W's over the next few years. I mean,
exactly.
There's not a single human being who could clearly argue that the Patriots are still kings of the AFC East. There's not, nobody can ever argue it. Everybody in New England has to admit that the East goes through Buffalo now.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. I mean, there's so many different things that we can talk about from not just from the three games this year and how it seems like every game Bills just seem to have got better and better. Maybe it was down to the weather, and I'm just going to put in there with Josh Allen's performance in that game, who needs a dome now?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about that for a little bit, and then, you know, here we are now, not worried about it. I mean, Buffalo's always going to give you a little bit of weird weather, and then sometimes, you know, they look good. Sometimes it's too much to overcome. I think that, you know, Jim Kelly lost at home sometimes. You know, it just happens.
Yeah. I mean, this is what, and it is the perfect game, especially on offense.
Yeah.
And that's never been done in the NFL. And to do it against a top five ranked defense where we've had no punts, and that's the second game in a row against the Patriots that we haven't punted.
Yeah.
No field goals, no picks, no fumbles, no field goals, touchdown on every single play, obviously, with the exception of the kneel down right at the end. 7 for 7 on his possessions. It's never been done. And that's what makes this game probably the most memorable, let's put it that way, memorable game, not just in Bills history, but probably playoff history, NFL history, because I don't think I'll ever be repeated.
Let me get your opinion on a UK comparative. Is this City United? From 76 to 06, City didn't beat United in a Premier League or First Division game.
Mm-hmm.
Until they won 2-1 in 08. And now, you know, City owns United. This is that, right? Or is there any other comparable that you could think of?
It's similar. I mean, you could say that it does sound and does reflect similarly to that. But I mean, you almost put it on pretty much most like derbies or rivalries in football. I mean, Liverpool, Everton. Liverpool pretty much have dominated Everton all the way. I think Everton's still shite now, so don't have to worry about that. I mean, Tottenham, Arsenal. Arsenal went through a stage where they just completely dominated Tottenham. Tottenham started to hit back. West Ham, Tottenham.
Yeah.
But there
like United was the kings of English football. And then City got rich, you know.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's different. It's like them getting a Josh Allen. They got the owner, right?
No, exactly. And I think it's just the way you can see how they've each built their teams now. Obviously, yeah. I think we can kind of put it to bed, the whole Brady Belichick. Is it Brady or was it Belichick that made the picture?
Yeah, you know, that's a really good point. I was explaining this to my trainer at the gym today. I was telling him about how the Bills won, and I was like, who do you got to play next? I said, Mahomes. He's like, I know who that is. I'm like, yeah, that's how you know they're a good team, is if someone who doesn't follow the sport knows who the other team's quarterback is. And then we got to talking. He's like, I really am surprised at how important that one position is. I'm like, yeah, absolutely. You can have a good squad, but unless you have a quarterback, you're never going to really be consistently winning in football.
Yeah.
Name me a team. I mean, a team slides in here and there, like the Bears against the Colts in the Super Bowl in the mid-2000s. They got in with Rex Grossman. But that doesn't happen often. Usually, I mean, look at all the quarterbacks right now. Bar Tennessee, yeah, exactly. They're all amazing quarterbacks. So I think what it is I think you alluded to this earlier, is like teams now have to game plan for us. They have to build their roster around how do you stop Josh Allen? Like that's where we're at now. You know, we talked in the offseason, you know, how do we build a defense to stop Patrick Mahomes? We're now in that category. Holy shit.
Yeah.
How great is that?
I mean, you're just looking. So I'm just going to go back to that quickly, to the Brady Belichick thing. I mean, up until
What we're talking about. Sorry, I did lose my train of thought.
That's all right.
Because I didn't go anywhere with what I was saying. But like, no, it's absolutely. It's like Brady is so important. The quarterback is so important. You could have the best coach in the world, but unless his quarterback can go make plays on a superstar level, you're always going to be, you know, lower tier. And I think Mac Jones is a Carson Palmer. No, Carson Palmer is better than him. You know, he's a serviceable. He could be like a Ryan Fitzpatrick. He'll win you a game or, you know, but he'll also lose you games. Just he's a boring player. And
I mean,
Belichick and Brady, I think it's been answered. It was Brady, not Belichick.
Yeah, because you're looking at the Tampa Bay stats before Brady came on. I'm just going to go back to 2017. Mm-hmm. So yeah. 2017, Tampa Bay's record was 5-11 before. Mm-hmm. 2018, they were 5-11. 2019, they were 7-9. And then it was the following year where 2020, when Brady came on board, they jumped to 11-5 and won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, that's the same roster. It's the same roster.
13-4. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I think now, and as much as I want the Patriots fans to believe this, they're still going to probably bury their head in the sand and go off and say Bills were lucky and all that. That it is definitely Brady that made the Patriots who they were.
Mm-hmm.
And until Belichick either goes, cleans house, or finds some way to actually win, that the East will pretty much go through Buffalo for 4, 5, however many years.
And it'll just be a case of, I mean, we got probably 8-9 years of this.
Yeah.
No, nobody's going to play as long as Brady. It's not going to be 20 years.
Oh, yeah.
But we're going to enjoy ourselves for quite a long time here.
But
what I don't want to do right now, and we are kind of doing it, I tweeted this a minute ago. You Google you look up Buffalo Bills on YouTube, and all it is people talking about the demise of New England. They're not talking about us.
Yeah, it's true.
But I think this is one of the things. We have more organized shows when we have something to complain about. We have fan interaction and they give us more topics to talk about when there's something to complain about.
We just
had a perfect game and here's the show. Hey, that was pretty great, right? And boom, end of show. what else is there? I mean, what's there to talk about? I mean, every other podcast and every other news state, they're going to talk about, you know, the drives and how great it was. And this player did great, this player did great, this player did great. I like to try and find, you know, the minute details and talk about something that no one else is talking about. There is no such thing. Yeah. There's only one thing to talk about. And it's how great we were.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, that's the problem they have, I guess.
looking at my notes, obviously I did notice on that. Obviously, 7 touchdown drives, 7 opportunities by Allen. He had more touchdown passes than he had incompletions.
Unbelievable.
Postseason Bills record of 5 touchdowns and no interceptions. Not sacked for 4th game in a row. So this will come on to that O-line.
A lot of that also has to do with Josh Allen's escapability, though.
Yeah.
The narrative can't just be the offensive line is great. Because I think, I mean, they're not perfect. You know, they're not hitting at like a 95% clip. Like, guys are getting by. It's just Allen's around them.
Well, let's say they have his 4th game in a row that he's not had a sack. The New England only managed to hit him once.
That's a great number, yeah.
Buffalo ran for 174 yards, 2 touchdowns, 6 yards per carry behind that offensive line. And what we saw, I don't know if you saw it, but the guards were actually pulling out and actually making those blocks for Allen and Singletary.
Yeah, that's
what
the evolution of our running game has been probably the best thing that we have seen over the last few weeks. For whatever reason, the game plan just started to click, and it's because we got the right personnel on the O-line. You know, with Bates coming in and Singletary, just you give a guy an opportunity to do it by himself, he gets the game flow, he gets the feel. You split, and he's like, okay, well, you introduce doubt. Like, why can't I do it by myself? And I think that's what the issue was between when we were splitting Singletary and Moss. And now that it's all Singletary, you're reaping the benefit of a guy, finding his mojo.
Yeah, I mean, if we move on to Singletary and the run game, since the Buccaneers game, we all know we had that 1A, 1B scenario with Singletary and Moss. Since the second half of that Buccaneers game, Singletary has taken nearly 80% of all offensive snaps.
Perfect.
He's actually, through the first 50 plays, he's took, hold on, In the game, he pretty much took all the running plays bar a couple when the game was really out of hand. And also when they came off the field.
Yeah.
When the Bills
had
2 tight end format.
Moss had 1 attempt and Trubisky had 3 kneel downs. You know, there's so many great stories to talk about in terms of what we did right. No player had more than 5 targets. You want to keep a defense guessing. You want to keep the defense on their heels. You want to stress out a defensive coordinator. Singletary 4 targets, McKenzie 3 targets, Knox 5, Diggs 4, Gabe Davis 3, Emmanuel Sanders 3. You know, you spread it around. You look at New England, it was 8 to Bourne, 9 to Myers. That's all they had. Anybody could beat you at any moment, and you're as a defense, you're like, holy shit, you know, you have to keep your head on a swivel, and then boom, they're past you. It's wonderful.
I mean, we'll talk about that, and you just look at the wide receiver game. I mean, this is the first time that Bills pretty much had all 5 of their top receivers really on at the same time. And playing at least 30% of the snaps.
Like week 3 or week 4 or something like that. Since the last time in Kansas City, really,
Gabe Davis this week was on the field for most of the snaps with 69%. Diggs, 60%. Sanders, 48%. Beasley, 39%. McKenzie, 32.1%. Mm-hmm. Even Jake Kumerow had about 9% of the snaps.
Yeah, I mean, you get those blocking wide receivers out there. You know, Gabe Davis is a great blocking wide receiver.
Yeah.
It's just
and it is and no it's crazy. Good because
crazy.
It's good, and hopefully we take this forward, and we'll talk about it a little bit more in the previous show. The fact that Dable can now really keep opposition defenses guessing because he used 14 different personnel groups with the wide receivers in that game. And the most common one I've got it down here. I was reading the Joe Buscaglia article on The Athletic. The most popular usage was Diggs, Beasley and Davis, which was used 10 times. But out of all the touchdowns, which wide receiver was involved in pretty much all of them or on the field and on that drive for those touchdowns?
We're probably going to say Gabe Davis, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was on there with the when they went with Diggs, Beasley and Davis, that got us two touchdowns. Diggs, Sanders and Davis, when they had seven plays, 89 yards, and that was two touchdowns on there. Diggs, Davis, McKenzie with one touchdown on four plays, and Davis and McKenzie on a three-play 24 drive on there. So it just shows how there was, 14 different combinations, and each of them, let's have a look on there, Beasley, Sanders and McKenzie, which had one play, 0 yards, and Davis, McKenzie and Kumaro, again, 8 yards, and Beasley, Sanders, Davis, 4 yards, all really showed up on the statistics and really showed that we've got that roulette, let's put it that way, that we can hit you
with. You haven't even mentioned Dawson Knox.
Exactly.
You know, we could talk about how great we are, and then there's still more to come. You know, there's still something we missed. That's how it's so crazy to be at this point. And I think it goes to show just how crazy, like, I hate when people say it's a long season. I'm like, this is the shortest league in all of sports.
Mm.
It's the shortest season. But you look at what happened back between, you know, Jacksonville, Indy, and the New England loss, and, you know, the Tennessee loss. At that point, you're like, this team's not going to win a playoff game, you know?
Yeah.
Now, even then, the Falcons game, losing at halftime, there's doubt in your mind, you know? But then we go out and do something like this. I mean, I'm speechless. I'm literally speechless. I know that's not good for a podcast.
But... Well, I mean the superlatives are there. And I think every podcast is actually pretty much running out, is waxing lyrical on this on this performance, and obviously we're no different. But it just shows how capable and how fearsome and this team can be. And I think it's me that tweeted on the thing saying that we shouldn't fear anyone. Mm-hmm. Everyone should fear us.
Yeah, I mean, Kansas City knows what we can do. Kelsey knows. Kelsey said it. Look at what they did. You know, there's going to be this. This isn't an X and an O's show, but I think the preview show absolutely will be. There's a lot to talk about in the Kansas City matchup. But just going back to like the significance of this win, and I don't really want to dig too much into it because it's just one game. We want to win a Super Bowl. But like what this game means to us, you know, I mean, like, let me get like your perspective. Like, I want to know like comparables. You know, it's tough to find this kind of thing in baseball because you play like a 7-game series, you know, but this is Red Sox beating the Yankees in 04. Yankees have a 3-0 lead in the playoffs and the Red Sox come back and win 4 games in a row to beat them. You know, that was, hey, Yankees, you know, you've been dominant for the whole 2000s in the 90s. Now we're here, you know. Like, is there like a moment for you, like being like a West Ham fan, like who's your rival? And like, when was that one game where you're like, hey, this is us now? Or have you had that yet?
No, not yet, no.
So who's your New England Patriots?
What, as in rivals that continuously take...
Who's the team that always beats you and you just want to, you know, blow up their stadium?
I could name quite a few teams on there. don't think there's really one that potentially stands out, to be honest. I mean...
All right, well, let's change it up. I mean, you do something that we don't do in America with football. National, you know, who's the country that you like, you know, can't win against?
Germany.
Well, that's everybody, isn't it? Yeah. But how did the Euros go? Who did you beat to get into the finals? It escapes me.
Oh, fuck, it escapes me as well. You know.
I remember it being, wasn't it? I remember it being like really like monumental. And it wasn't just because, you know, England made it to the final, but it was because you beat, you know.
I think it was Belgium, I think.
Well, that's not exciting.
Well, it was at the time because Belgium was the... Oh, no, Denmark.
Mm-hmm.
We beat Denmark in that one. Maybe. After extra time. It was Italy, Spain, England, Denmark.
Yeah.
But I think anything... If I try and go back to West Ham, I mean... We've lost a fair amount.
It was in the round of 16. Here it is. Yeah, I remember there being a signature win. It was the round of 16. You beat Germany 2-0.
Yeah.
That's what I'm remembering. Like, that's what this is like for the Bills. You know, like, I understand that people that listen to this in the UK, they're diehard Bills fans. And I'm not going to be like, you don't understand. This is that. Like, they get it. The people that we've talked to have said that they've been Bills fans for a long time. Nobody just jumped on with Josh Allen. You know, we don't have a lot of that. We don't have a lot of bandwagoners. So there's a lot of respect out there to our UK listeners, because it has been a difficult ride over the last 20 years. But yeah, this is England winning a big game here for like our American listeners who like need to understand like how people feel over here. It's, are you okay with just this? Like, if we lose to Kansas City, because we beat New England like this, is this enough?
No, ideally it should be a case. Last year we got the AFC Championship game. This year we should, I think, looking at what we've done previous years, we should always aim for the same, if not one step better.
Of course, absolutely.
So what was it? It was a wild card game 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Then last year we got to the AFC Championship game. So this year,
it's got
to
be.
I would say if we lose to the Chiefs, unless the Chiefs actually do play their perfect game or the perfect game to actually put us down, and we don't implode, then I would kind of say, okay, fair enough. They played their game, they deserved it. But I always say at this point now, it's AFC Championship or bust. If we win the AFC Championship, amazing. It's going to be great. If we don't, at least we now know what we need to do to be consistently looking to the AFC Championship game and having that, maybe that one stroke of luck, one slip. Let's talk when Allen did against the Titans. That one slip that could actually propel us from runners up in the AFC Championship to a Super Bowl season. So I'll always measure it on where we ended up last year that you really want to try and mimic it this year. So
I did give a thought to you know, the losses that we had in the season, how we could have avoided having to play Kansas City this early in the playoffs. But then, you know, I stopped analyzing that. And I stopped, you know, doing the math on the seeding. And if we would have beat these guys, I'm not scared.
No.
If you would have asked me, you know, after the New England loss, December 6th, I would have said, if we play the Chiefs in the first round, I'm worried. I'm scared. I don't think we can do it. It's just insane, you know, how things have changed. And I think all of the credit in the world goes to the coaching staff and the players kind of picking their heads up and just figuring it out. And maybe, I think you asked me last time, like, are you worried if Daboll and Frazier leave? And after this game, maybe a little bit, just because I trust them to be able to make those adjustments and figure out how to fix when things go wrong. And I would have to build that trust again, but I guess that all lies on McDermott more than anything. Right. And that trust, you know, lot is always going to be there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, before we wrap up, because I mean we could talk ages and ages about this game and the effects, but we've now got to look forward. It's still taking one game at a time, going pretty much almost on like going to start a revenge tour. So yeah, last year, Chiefs this year, most likely potentially face Titans. So it'll be a nice little revenge tour to the Super Bowl on there. But we'll pick that up on the preview show. Is there anything you want to add just before we actually sign off?
Yeah. When did you know it was over? When were you comfortable?
Not till the fourth quarter, to be honest. Because even though it was a Brady-led team back in that that Super Bowl when the Falcons went 27-3 up.
Yeah.
And that was in the middle of the third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And the Patriots came back. When we went 27-3 up in the at halftime, until you get comfortable maybe with an extra score or two on top and actually have a good play against defense, you can't really take anything in the NFL. And we've seen it this year. You can't take anything in the NFL as a jackpot straight on. Yes, we've actually got this game. You've got to feel comfortable. So I wasn't really as comfortable, really, until that, until we got to like the fourth quarter,
Middle of the fourth quarter, it was 40-10, mate. I told my wife, you know, we were pretty damn tired. I'm sure everybody was watching a game at, you know, starting at 1 a.m. But I said, on our first drive in the third quarter, I said, it's 27-3. I'm like, if we just kick a field goal here, it's over. There's no way that New England could go score, stop us, score, stop us, score, stop us. There's no way they can do that. There's absolutely no way they can do that. So if we kick a field goal here, you can go to bed. And she stayed
up. Did you go to bed?
Nope. She stayed up for the Sanders touchdown and the Gabe Davis touchdown, and then she went to bed.
What about you?
I stayed up for the whole game. You remember, I told you.
I know.
I stayed up after the game. I stayed up on Twitter interacting with fans until like 5 a.m., which I really shouldn't have done. My sleep schedule is all messed up now. I mean, I was at work
for 7:30.
Really? Oh, my God. To the people who went to work the next day, kudos to you. You're the champions.
But anyway, let's moving on. So you've got nothing really else to add. So let's wrap this up. We've got a nice bit of show building to do for the preview show. So what I would say is everyone that's been interacting with us since Sunday and all that, thank you. Let's continue to grow. And if you haven't started interacting with us, at UK_Bills, at RWBB_podcast on Twitter, Buffalo Bills UK on Facebook and YouTube, at UK_Bills on Instagram. Let's build. I think in the last week or so, 5 days or so, we've gained quite a lot of followers and a lot of attention's been on us. So let's continue to build this this fan base here in the UK. Reach out to anyone that isn't an NFL fan or is an NFL fan, doesn't have a team. Point them towards the Bills, because it's going to be start of what maybe we could call a golden era. Possibly. I'll probably be a bit too enthusiastic about that one, but keep liking, following, subscribing, setting the notifications, spreading the word. And for Alex, it's Matt saying good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thank you for listening. Keep liking and subscribing. And let's go Buffalo Bills.
It's magic.
Not us. You don't know anything about heart. You don't know anything about work. No. Huh? That's who we are.
Bills on three. 1, 2, 3.